a week in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African football. The Sphinx and the pyramids in Egypt will provide a powerful historical backdrop for Friday's Africa Cup of Nations draw. And speaking of history, in terms of participating teams, 24, this will be the biggest Nations Cup in history. Now let's take a look at Friday's draw procedure. The 24 qualified teams have been placed into four pots based on seeding, and the seedings are based on the latest FIFA rankings released April 4th by World Football's governing body. There will be six groups of four teams. Each group will have one team from each seeding pot. Pot one is the strongest group. That is, it has the highest ranked teams. Egypt, as the host country, was put in pot one, as was defending Nations Cup champion Cameroon. The four other teams in pot one are Senegal, Tunisia, Nigeria, and Morocco. Pot two has the Democratic Republic of Congo, Ghana, Mali, Ivory Coast, Guinea, and Algeria. Pot three has South Africa, Uganda, Benin, Mauritania, Madagascar, and Kenya. And pot four has Zimbabwe, Namibia, Guinea-Bissau, Angola, Tanzania, and Burundi. The Swallows of Burundi are making their debut in African football showpiece event, as are Madagascar and Mauritania. Guinea-Bissau and Tanzania, meanwhile, are making only their second appearances at the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which will kick off June 21st in Cairo. Ida Peterside is a football analyst and a former Nigerian international goalkeeper. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Ida, "Can some of the newcomers to the Nations Cup surprise the big boys in Egypt?"
No. What surprises? There won't be surprises. We're looking at about four countries still that can still win the African Nations Cup. Nigeria, Egypt, Ivory Coast, and maybe Cameroon. It will always be this way because, you know, the new countries will help bring a lot of enthusiasm from these countries because they're qualifying for the first time, especially countries like Tanzania. And we know Nigerians will support Tanzania because of Amunike, but they will just come to gain experience. And after that, the big boys will win the tournament.
Amongst the big boys, do you see them springing surprises against each other?
Yes. That's the point. They will cancel themselves. Remember, when I say big boys, South Africa will be there, Ghana will be there, Algeria will be there, Senegal will be there. These are big players. You know, these are big teams, and you expect them to all get to at least a quarterfinal, so very close there. Then anyone can eliminate anyone.
You live in South Africa. What's your take on the Bafana Bafana team that qualified, that beat Libya away and qualified?
No, they're very good side. They're a very good side. Trust me when I say they're a very good side. They're a very young side. They're a new team. You saw what they did to Nigeria here. We didn't win them in South Africa. It was a draw. And for them to have gotten to Libya when Libya needed to win and to perform to win, then it goes to show that they're a very strong side. They're a very good side. They will do well, but the problem I'll have with them, they're not very good travelers because the comfort they have in South Africa, you don't find in most times, in most places. So tournaments are always very difficult for them outside South Africa because I don't think that mentality is very strong, because for you to win a tournament like this, you are away for a month, away from all the comfort of life. That might just work against them.
For Emmanuel Amuneke, you were playmates, you played together in the Super Eagles, and he set a record in Tanzania. What's your take on that?
No, beautiful. I've sent a congratulatory message to him. You know, the good thing about it is that for the very first time, African nations are believing in African coaches. You see, normally they would go look for European coaches, but for an African nation to employ another African coach to coach an African nation, for me, that's big. I must congratulate Tanzania for that.
That's Ida Peterside, a football analyst and a former Nigerian international goalkeeper. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I mentioned how the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament will kick off June 21st in Cairo. The Pharaohs of Egypt will host a to-be-determined opponent in the opening match at the Cairo International Stadium. The final will be held at the same stadium on July 19th. The African Football Fiesta was due to be held in Cameroon, but the country was stripped of hosting rights over concerns about the slow pace of preparations. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, then awarded Egypt the Nations Cup.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson will join us with a spicy package of basketball and Masters golf news. And Jim says he'll be tipping off with Tony Bennett, not the 92-year-old American singer, but the 49-year-old coach of U.S. college basketball's new national champions.
For them to do what they did, you know, and how they've won, it's a great story. It really is.
A great story for Coach Tony Bennett and his Virginia Cavaliers men's basketball team. Last year, the first overall number one seed ever to lose in the first round of the annual 68-team National Championship Tournament. This year, national champions. Virginia guard Kyle Guy and his teammates were on a year-long mission.
As soon as the buzzer sounded and, you know, we were done with the press conference and stuff, that we knew we all had the same goal in mind for next year, and that was to win a national championship.
Guy poured in 24 points, grabbed 3 rebounds in the 85-77 overtime win against Texas Tech in the final played in Minneapolis, as he became the 2019 Final Four Most Outstanding Player. Coach Bennett liked what he saw.
It appeared, from my standpoint, to be a high-level game. And, you know, we scored 85. That was in that setting, so good stuff.
Texas Tech Red Raiders coach Chris Beard also thought it was a great final.
The game was everything we thought it would be. Thought it would come down to one last possession, and it did in regulation. And then in overtime, it just got away from us a little bit.
Beard felt his team fell short with little time to prepare for its first ever meeting with Virginia in the first championship final appearance for both schools.
One day prep, it was difficult. The first of the game, we just couldn't get anywhere, so we made an adjustment with our offense and started, you know, basically getting some three-point shots to get us back in the game. But their defense was as good as advertised. It's very, very difficult to score against.
Tony Bennett was familiar with quick turnaround games, which helped give Virginia an advantage.
I just know from my experience as a coach in the Pac-10 how important that day is in between and how you just get to prepare well, and get after it. And so I think they stepped in the moment. They faced pressure through the year, through the tournament.
And like last year in the first game, Virginia faced early elimination. But the difference in overcoming the challenge proved useful as the Cavaliers, or Hoos as the fans know them, came into the final.
Being down 14 against Garner Webb,
I said, and you did not panic in that moment, and you fought, and you found a way out. I said, that, I think, has prepared you for this moment to be able to handle the pressure or the intensity of a national championship game, and these guys stepped up.
Chris Beard was told how great his Texas Tech team was all season, and he knows the Red Raiders are to be taken seriously when the next season begins.
A lot of emotion in our locker room right now, and it's real. Just guys that care about the guy next to them. So, but this is life. And, you know, we'll bounce back. In terms of Texas Tech basketball, we're not going anywhere. You know, we'll be back in this tournament sooner than later.
Beard says the value of the game is huge for his young players.
College basketball is the best education I think you can get. You know, it teaches you how to get along with people and how to work for a goal and how to handle success and how to handle really, really tough times, which we're experiencing right now. But, you know, it's just a great opportunity to learn from and to get even tougher.
Philosophy is also a big part of Virginia's program and what Coach Tony Bennett has instilled in his student athletes.
It's about the joy of competition and the fun in the pursuit of a championship. You know, and that, I love it.
For Kyle Guy, the championship completed a goal he and his teammates set when they first came to the University of Virginia.
We came in together and said that we were going to win a national championship, and, you know, to be able to hug each other with confetti going everywhere and say we did it, it's the greatest feeling I've ever felt in basketball.
Bennett had one final thought for his players after they cut down the nets and hoisted the trophy.
Don't let this change you. It doesn't have to. Stay humble and stay thankful. It's a great story. That's probably the best way I can end this. It's a great story.
Pizza is fun. Everyone loves pizza, and pizza loves everyone.
National Basketball Hall of Fame player Shaquille O'Neal loves pizza so much that he is now serving on the board of Papa John's. The big man scored a slam dunk in negotiating his role with the pizza chain.
I said, tell you what, let's make it a triple threat. I want to be a board member, the first African-American board member, by the way. I want to own 5 to 10 stores, so I got 9. And I'll do a couple commercials for you guys. And you guys got to be in charge. You got to be the new leadership. I'm not dealing with all that other nonsense. I'm dealing with you guys, boom, bam, and we agreed. So now we're doing business together.
The company hopes O'Neal can repair its image and revive its sales after the company's founder and namesake, John Schnatter, made racially insensitive remarks. Papa John's International says it will pay O'Neal more than $8 million in cash and company stock for the 3-year endorsement deal. Shaq says none of that matters when he sits down for a few, well, likely several slices.
When I eat my pizza, I don't want to hear nothing unless it's a game. When I eat my pizza, I don't want to hear nothing unless it's music. I'm not talking no politics. I'm not talking no stats. I don't want to hear nothing. I want to enjoy my pizza. So if you want to enjoy a great pizza and feel loved by the people that serve the pizza, you can come back home now. The daddy's here.
This week is unique with the history, the golf that's been played out here.
American golfer Bryson DeChambeau has his sights set on winning his first major title this week at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. 3 years ago, he was the low amateur.
The coolest part about that whole experience was being able to step up on that first tee 2016. And, you know, everybody thinking I'm pretty darn nervous, and get up there and I just smile because I was prepared. I'd played over a dozen rounds here in 2016 and was really, I thought, ready to win the tournament. I had a chance to win, and I knew I did. And after 35 holes, I was right there. Being the low amateur champion was just fantastic.
DeChambeau says he's growing familiar with the only major tournament that uses the same course each year.
The experience helps. I will say that experience definitely helps, and the more I'm here, the more I can start to understand what's kind of happening in these unique situations that present themselves.
DeChambeau takes a scientific approach to the game, analyzing the physics of his shots relative to the course. But at Augusta, there is no tournament-provided material to help players navigate the course. So precise thinking DeChambeau has to rely more on human instincts.
I believe that my preparation is a little more intense, I would say. I have to work a little harder to get some insight into some things. than other places, but that's fine. I mean, that's a part of the process, and I think the person who digs it out of the dirt the most should have a little bit of an advantage, and I think that's where it's actually a positive thing.
Like DeChambeau, Tommy Fleetwood of England is looking for his breakthrough moment, especially after finishing runner-up at last year's U.S. Open.
This is my third time playing. You really get a sense of the difference in how you feel from year one to year two to year three. Year one, it's also new and not overwhelming, but there's so much to take in, and it's your first time here. Year two, you've been here already, so you're more comfortable with it, and it just kind of progresses like that to the point where, I mean, I'm not at like a Freddie Couples stage yet or anything like that, but I'm getting a better understanding and a feeling of the tournament and the course and what that involves.
And like DeChambeau, learning the course is a constant effort.
The golf course itself needs a bit more preparation than usual anyway. There's so many different things to consider. There's so many options here and there, and particularly hitting into greens, chipping around the greens and putting this. I don't think you can ever learn enough.
American Ricky Fowler has finished third at the PGA Championship and runner-up in each of the other three majors, including last year's Masters, behind compatriot Patrick Reed.
Well, I got to do one better. Not a lot of confidence was taken from last year. I've been in similar positions before going into the weekend and either not had the Saturday or not had the Sunday that I've wanted.
Fowler's quest for his first major title has to go through a revamped fifth hole, which is the talk of the tournament this year.
It is a longer hole. They softened the green a bit to allow for some longer clubs into there, adding the potential pin placement on the left side there. So it's a love-hate relationship for me with five. I think it's a tough second shot just because it is one of the bigger greens out here, but you have to be so precise in where you're landing it and to put yourself in the right position. But I think the changes there, I like.
And then there's that special final day at the Masters.
What's fun about Sundays, typically here at Augusta, really on the back nine, there's a lot of pins that when you're playing well and you're able to play aggressive, you can make a lot of birdies, which is one of the things we were able to do last year. But it's also a place that if you're a little bit off, even with it potentially playing very scoreable, it'll pick you apart very quickly.
Despite the potential brutality of the course that will claim most of the field, every player will find this week special, as Tommy Fleetwood knows.
There's a different atmosphere. It's the first major of the year. You know, everything just seems like, you know, when you get to this week, everything that's happened before just doesn't really matter. You know, this is it.
That's British golfer Tommy Fleetwood talking about this week's Masters tournament in Augusta, Georgia. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. First round action teed off Thursday at the Masters. But history was made last weekend at the Augusta National Golf Club. Joining us with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Augusta National Golf Club opened in 1933, and since its inception, the club has made headlines for being one of the most famous golf courses in the world and for its often controversial membership policy. African Americans were barred from membership until 1990, and it remained an all-male club until women were admitted for the first time in 2012. Well, last weekend, history was made on the greens at Augusta when the club played host to its first women's tournament. And the Augusta National Women's Amateur was such a success, many are now asking, why not showcase the women in their own Masters tournament? On Wednesday, Augusta National Golf Chairman Fred Ridley addressed a room full of reporters who saw a women's professional event as the next logical step. Ridley said, as far as the women are concerned, he plans to stick with the club's amateur roots.
Augusta National was founded, co-founded by the greatest amateur of all time. To date, all of our Grow the Game initiatives have been focused on amateur golf and amateur golfers. In this particular case, we elected to conduct a women's amateur tournament for that same reason. But we really wanted this to continue in a grow the game sort of mode.
Ridley also said hosting two professional events in 1 week would prove to be too much for the tournament's administration.
We also have to be respectful of the Masters tournament, and which is one of the reasons why we had a partner that put this championship on with us, a Champions Retreat. We were trying to balance providing the women competitors with the opportunity to be at Augusta National, to have a championship decided at Augusta National, but yet, you know, be cognizant of the fact that we were on the, you know, we were just a few days away from the Masters tournament. So if you sort of, you know, put it in context with the Masters sort of being the epicenter of our competitive, you know, tournament administration efforts, we do have some limitations as to what we could do, and we try to balance that in deciding how can we best deploy our resources for the good of the game, in this case, the women's game. So I think that's the approach we're going to continue to take.
Over the weekend, American Jennifer Kupcho entered the history books as the crown champion of the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur. The world's top-ranked amateur player now joins Ben Crenshaw, Phil Mickelson, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods as the only players to win both the NCAA Individual Championship and a tournament at Augusta National. On Tuesday, Tiger Woods expressed his admiration for all of the women who made history in Augusta.
Well, I think it was just incredible what how they played. You know, this is, I mean, they only got one practice round in. So for them to learn a golf course like this in one day and go out there and perform like they did, it was incredible. It was incredible to see, and I think that it's going to only it adds to the lure of Augusta National and the Masters tournament. And I think what they've done for women's golf is a huge step in the right direction.
For his part, Tiger Woods teed off Thursday in his bid to win a fifth Masters title. And that's all from me for now. Sonny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With excitement building ahead of Friday's Africa Cup of Nations draw in Egypt, the scheduling note, African football's premier tournament will overlap for a couple of weeks with the FIFA Women's World Cup in France. The Women's World Cup will kick off June 7th, 2 weeks before the Africa Cup of Nations, and go through July 7th. And like Africa's Nations Cup, the Women's World Cup will also feature 24 teams. Cameroon, Nigeria, and South Africa will represent Africa in France. The United States will enter the Women's World Cup as the defending world champions. The American women are bidding for their fourth world title after lifting the trophy previously in 1991, 1999, and 2015. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see an action-packed photograph by Associated Press photographer David J. Phillip of Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki competing against each other in the 2011 NBA Finals. We heard from D. Wade and Nowitzki on Wednesday's show. They're both headed to the Hall of Fame, and they're both wrapping up stellar NBA careers as they retire. And finally, this VOA programming note, Dan Friedel will be hosting the show on Friday, April 12th, as well as April 15th and April 16th next week. And that wraps up the April 11th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojtek Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
On Wednesday, at a much-anticipated press conference held outside of Washington, D.C., Shepard Doleman, the director of the Event Horizon Telescope, announced a remarkable astronomical event.
And we are delighted to be able to report to you today that we have seen what we thought was unseeable. We have seen and taken a picture of a black hole.
This supermassive black hole, with a mass equal to 6.5 billion suns, lies at the heart of the Messier 87 galaxy, located 55 million light years away. The Event Horizon Telescope is really eight powerful radio telescopes located around the world that are joined together to form a giant virtual Earth-sized telescope. This astronomical breakthrough is detailed in a series of six papers published in a special issue of the Astrophysical Journal Letters. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed has made headlines for pushing through unprecedented reforms. But many challenges lie ahead in creating a national consensus. Discussing Ethiopia's future on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock, on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years. VOA.